That's So Cincinnati Podcast. Super excited to be back with you. Bengals columnist Paul Young Jr. here with Politics Extra, Politics Insider. Your friend and mine, Jason Williams. Jason, good to have you back here again. Here we are again in the box.
Thanks for having me back. Thanks for inviting me back on.
I invited you on.
Thank you.
I decided you're allowed to be.
My good friend, and we hope yours.
And you know what? Last week's episode, so good, so informative, so well-sourced. We were like, you know what? Let's go right back to the well. Sherry Coolidge joining us again. Welcome back, Sherry.
Hey, what about me?
Thank you.
You're just a big talking head, right? You're just an opinion.
Bobblehead.
You're just a crap-stirring vulture.
That's
Wait,
me.
Was
That's
that on Twitter? That sounds familiar.
I'm in the gutter, man.
So we have had a lot going on here, obviously. Last week we recapped a lot of the fallout from the elections. You took a lot of that. Everybody kind of took it a step further as the weekend came on. You had a story on Cincinnati.com on Joe Dieter's future, which is a topic that we dove into. I thought really good discussion about that here last week. So if you haven't listened to that, go back to listen to last week's podcast. Great stuff on what that could be. And you obviously dove even further into that. We've had more stuff on the county commissioners and everything that's been going on. So let's go back. Let's clear the deck of election stuff real quick, right? And let's go back to like regular everyday things that are going on. And City Hall, hey, it's still pretty messy over there.
It's back to reality.
It's nothing's changed since the last time we checked in on City Hall a couple months ago.
Except now, can you, okay, I'm going to play Please Tell Me How This Is Possible Guy, because I'm not an insider in that world. I think everyday person is reading the story from James Pilcher and saying, what do you mean they lost the audit? Like, there was an audit that caused all kinds of drama. That's an important document, right? Important document?
Of the police overtime.
Yeah.
They audited the police overtime, right?
They did. And that kind of came out in another story that referenced the fact that there was an audit. I was like, ooh, an audit?
Yeah.
That audit got leaked to me. There were a lot of problems with some police overtime. That then prompted Harry Black, the former city manager, of all things, you know, like we've talked a lot about him, written a lot of stories about him. It's this leaked audit that prompted the problems for Harry.
And now,
however,
it's gone. It no one gone. Knows where it is.
So here's the thing. So, you know, a lot of people are disputing whether there were problems with the audit. So the inquirer was like, well, let's get to the bottom of that. Right. Please provide all of the underlying pay records for the Cincinnati police officers. And we are going to look and see if there actually are problems with police overtime. Right? There's documents somewhere and they tell the tale. Well, that was like, what are we talking about here? Nine months ago? 7 months ago?
It was like 90 years ago.
James Pilcher today in the Inquirer has revealed that they lost the documents, all the underlying documents.
I mean, come on.
How do you lose it? Like, and I don't mean, I'm sure that there's certain, is it like,
I mean,
a their filing cabinet?
Their pay records.
Were they shredded?
I mean, is it not saved on some computer somewhere?
Is it on a floppy disk, right? Like, what? How is it possible to lose something like that? I have.
Is it on the cloud?
What do I have right now? I have 17,785 emails on my phone still.
Unread?
Right now, unread.
Good Lord.
All sitting right there.
Hold on. I might be able to beat that. Yeah. Let me see.
Get back with some readers every once in a while.
There is endless clouds. Every cloud has a cloud now. And you're telling me they don't have this important documents saved in a file somewhere?
James says they don't.
That is stunning.
You know what else, though?
That's so Cincinnati City Hall.
That's so Cincinnati.
But here's the thing. So, I mean, James is asking the question. The Inquirer was asking the question. But it seems that no one inside City Hall is asking the question. This audit, you know, revealed a lot of problems with police overtime. And you think somebody inside City Hall would be like, hey, let's talk about that audit. At least bring that document in or talk about what's going on. And that has just never, ever been a conversation. Instead, assistant police chief was ousted. Harry Black was asked to resign. We wrote a story about a strip club. There's an EEO complaint. And it's like, but what happened with police overtime?
Right.
And no one's asking that question except James.
Except James, thankfully. Thankfully, James is asking it. That's just amazing. How on a scale of this happens every day to I can't even believe what I'm seeing because you see it all over there. Where does this rank on a 1 to 10 or for you?
Well, the idea that they're lost is pretty egregious.
Yeah.
The fact, I mean, we've had a lot of problems actually getting records. So the fact that we didn't get them for a long time was not surprising to me. So it's like that just. That's been a thing. Recently, the Inquirer filed suit over 7, you know, record requests that weren't filled. There are several, though. So while that's not okay, it's not a surprise. The idea that the outcome of it is that they're not anywhere to be found is
hysterical.
I don't know.
Hysterical.
Like, you don't typically hear that.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, you don't.
Let's be honest here. Do we think that someone's just trying to cover this up? Or do you think they've legitimately lost the documents in the computer system or in the filing cabinet somewhere?
Would you rather be inept, or would you rather be dirty? I don't know. Like, because you're if that's what you're choosing, one of the two with this, right? This is, they look one of those two things.
You can forgive ineptitude, I think.
yeah. You shouldn't elect it, but you could forgive it.
I do think that, you know, someone inside City Hall really should be asking about this because there are legitimate questions.
Yes.
They're too dang worried about stupid stuff over there, like text messages and calling people names and who's in whose corner. And that has been the year at City Hall. And we've talked about on this podcast. Sherry's written tens of thousands of words about it this year. And this is yet another example of that, that Sherry's exactly right. The elected officials, the directors of departments, whoever, the police chief, who I've been critical of, and this is one of the reasons why I've been critical of him, is this overtime thing, needs to be getting to the bottom of this.
Right.
But instead, we're distracted by silly things that have nothing to do with the public and serving the public. Anyway, sorry, it was a rant.
No. And
I'm not apologizing. Sorry, I'm not going to apologize.
No, I mean,
sorry for saying sorry.
This is a vehicle for all your rants, Jason. It's why we're here. We're in this little booth, this little room right now, so that you can rant.
Plus you have me. I sit next to you.
Right. Just feels right. That's an astounding story to me. I just can't even. Can you quickly help me out with what's going on with Airbnb? Because we've seen this, and I don't know how connected this is, but we see this in a lot of cities now where the cities try to get involved with Airbnbs to knock some of their, you know, bargain off of them, essentially to help the hotels. Is that what is going on with Airbnbs here?
So they're trying to regulate the Airbnbs, and right, there's going to be some sort of like fee attached to them for having these and inspection. But it's about affordable housing. I mean, there's obviously like people are like, you're just trying to help the hotels. And there's like, there is that, you know, swirling conversation, but inside City Hall, they're very concerned about affordable housing, like in Over the Rhine,
right,
that using these kind of taking away these units and making them Airbnbs really is going to make everything more expensive, and price people out. And they're trying to, you know, correct that. But it's been controversial because of the, you know, the people who run Airbnbs and have them are like property rights and,
yeah.
And so this has been, you know, David Mann introduced this. There was a set of rules and, you know, that were super unpopular. And to be fair, he has definitely like scaled them back, looked at best practices in other cities. And I just don't, there was a big hearing today, might still be going on what these regulations really need to look like. And so it's been a rolling conversation. Some sort of regulations are definitely coming, though.
You know what's interesting? Last year, the Bengals played at the Titans in Nashville, and we we had a lot of people going to the game. So we did, a lot of times we would do Airbnbs because we'd send five people down there to cover the game. So we would look for a house. And in Nashville, if anybody's been in Nashville knows how expensive hotels are there. It's crazy. So we were like, we have to do one there. And we found not just Airbnbs. They have Airbnb neighborhoods developed because everyone, wow. Nashville has become this, you know, party town or whatever, where all these big bachelor and bachelorette groups go. So they take these houses in these down neighborhoods, and they reno all of them and turn them into big, essentially made for big group party Airbnbs that are solely rented out for that. And the whole neighborhood turns into that. And they have these popping up all over the place in a place like Nashville. And then Nashville's came in and started putting in a little more regulation because the hotels were like, these things are killing us. But if you don't regulate it, like, it eventually can turn into that, where you have these Airbnb neighborhoods taking over and things like that. Not that extreme, probably wouldn't happen here, but it's definitely a major issue in a lot of cities.
Well, and I'm not sure Over the Rhine could sustain something like that. It's right. Small enough as it is. And
an area that people would love to go get an Airbnb and walk around in. I mean, it's certainly desirable. I don't know.
Is this a case of the politicians getting out too far out there on this? Are we overthinking this, do you think?
No, because on something like this is what Cincinnati is. If you live in the city of Cincinnati, you expect this from your elected officials. When you go out in the townships, it's more like, this is not where, like, it's more property rights out there, and there's like a different feel with how the elected officials act. But in Cincinnati, I'm not surprised by this at all, like regulations for this.
What I don't understand, though, is that in a neighborhood like Over the Rhine, it's already high-priced. Remember, you know, the redeveloped part of Over the Rhine. I assume... And I'm not real familiar with. I've been so swamped with election stuff, I'm not familiar, other than what I've glanced over real quickly, the story that we just had on this Airbnb issue. So I want to be fair in saying that.
But it's like gobbling up the rental properties. So then, if there's no rental properties, that's the affordable housing issue with it. Like, we want, you know, to have diverse neighborhoods like East Walnut Hills, and like the more they become Airbnbs, the less people can live in them.
Yeah. But it seems like there could be a lot of money to be made by Airbnbs and Over the Rhine, as that's become a destination for people in such a walkable community. So I'll be curious to see how that fight plays out, because,
you know, I would praise David Mann, and because I think that there was a thought that, like, okay, here's some regulations and we'll have a hearing on it and then we'll pass it. You know, he really is listening to these owners. He's allowing them to come in today. This was not something that happened overnight. David Mann was willing to wait, hear from everybody, and, you know, everyone's not going to get what they want. But at least there has been this huge ongoing conversation, you know, because everything's not like that. Like, when we had the billboard tax, like, that came up at the last second. The billboard owners were very upset. That passed in 2 days. There was no time to, like, think or talk or do anything about it. But in this case, there really has been just this long period of letting everyone have a say.
Oh, and by the way, that billboard tax was illegal, so they couldn't do it anyway.
Yes.
City Hall 2018, ladies and gentlemen.
Just throw it through illegally. So you mentioned this earlier, and we should jump into this real quick, because, you know, there you mentioned being so much focus on name calling and other junk going on over there. The word evil has been thrown around a lot here lately, and it seems to have gotten... maybe gone over the line in a couple of situations. What is going on with crazy stuff like the people calling each other evil and like altercations happening in bathrooms and like what is happening?
So while we were all so focused on election 2018, this was all coming up, wasn't it, Sherry?
It gets back to the text messages. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, there's five council members. We know they had several conversations with five members that have been released. And now we're at a point where, like, are some of the ones between two members public going to become public through a court case or not? And Christopher Smitherman has been alleging for months that something was said about his gravely ill wife in these messages, although we haven't seen that to be true. But that's certainly something he believes happened. And the issue came up at City Council 2 weeks ago at Budget Committee. And Vice Mayor Smitherman turned to Greg Landsman and said the behavior that was going on in these text messages was evil. And that sparked just an absolute public outrage.
And that's become, and now the word evil's floating around on social media a lot. I'm seeing a lot of folks, and it seems to be a lot of folks targeting Greg Landsman. And apparently it's, I've heard, I guess now I'm hearing that other people are also being called evil. So it raises the question that, I don't know, what does the word evil mean? And in 2018, in such a divisive environment that we're in, and the name calling that comes from the White House, and just all of our politics, is this just hyperbole? Is this really personal? Is it, you know, as a elected official, should you just let it roll off your back because, you know, hey, this is politics and you can be called anything and everything? And I don't know.
I think it is important to note that this was said to Councilman Greg Landsman, who is Jewish, and it happened right after the synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh. So, I mean, it was coming in that context. So it's said, and additionally, then Jewish leaders in our community came out and they were calling for an apology.
Yeah.
So that there's some context there.
So, yeah, in the midst of that, you know, that came in the wake of that. And you know, in fairness to the Vice Mayor, Christopher Smitherman, I really don't believe he was not referring. It had nothing to do with what had happened in Pittsburgh. So, you know, these are completely separate issues. However, you know, Greg Landsman, you know, there was a group of folks who thought, in the wake of that, why is an elected official using such divisive rhetoric in a time when, you know, things are so crazy right now, such crazy tragedies? And also, you know, I think when you can define what happened in Pittsburgh as evil, I mean, to me, when I think of the word evil, I think of what happened in Pittsburgh. I think of what happened on 9/11. You think about someone, you know, killing someone. To me, that's, I see the word, that's how serious evil is. I don't see.
So you almost view it as hate speech.
I don't view the word, what is happening right now, as hate speech necessarily. I'm just saying I view the behavior of evil as those very serious things. Now, I did not mean for it to sound like I'm saying that's hate speech.
I don't know if it's lingering on that. If you think it pushes.
Well, I guess just when I think of the word evil, I think of crazy, just super wicked, deceitful. Mm-hmm. Tragedies like those things I just mentioned.
Right.
I looked up in Merriam-Webster, the dictionary, and evil as an adjective is morally reprehensible, sinful, wicked, arising from actual or imputed bad character or conduct. As a noun, it is evil, the noun. It is the fact of suffering the fact of suffering misfortune and wrongdoing, a cosmic evil force, something that brings sorrow, distress, or calamity.
Well, that latter piece, you know, and Vice Mayor Smitherman has not backed off of using that word. And it honestly is, if you look at the latter piece of that definition, if something was said about his wife, he's very upset about that. He believes he has reason something was said, and that fit the definition there.
Frankly, though, I mean, just again going back to how I think of the word evil, I see no one at City Hall, none of the 10 elected officials at City Hall as just downright evil people. I don't necessarily know if I've seen evil behavior based on, but I guess if you base on the literal definition here, certainly there's an argument to be made, it sounds like.
Isn't this just a conversation that essentially just puts a spotlight on how messy and divided City Hall is more than anything? I mean, isn't this just a perfect illustration of how there's just not a whole lot of getting along happening down there, that it's at this point? Is that the biggest overarching, I guess, takeaway from this?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Like,
no
that
doubt.
It was said publicly, mm-hmm. like, not even just between people, like, you know, in the hallway. Like, this was said publicly. It became a very big story. And, you know, things like that. So we're still basically talking about the text messages between council members and not Airbnb and not, you know, like
911 center fixing it in the wake of. When was the last time we heard Kyle Plush's name mentioned at City Hall? Right. I thought we were really serious about fixing the 911 center, you know, in the wake of the Kyle Plush tragedy. Excuse me, I can't talk today. In April.
And that's certainly going on behind the scenes, but the public conversation about it's waned, although the independent report is out on Thursday, so I guess we'll be getting back to that.
Okay,
on Thursday.
That's good.
But
let's
still.
Hope. Let's hope that we get back to that and we're not talking about things like this. Can we lighten up real quick? How'd the dance go? I mean, you had the big Dancing with the Stars moment over in Newport.
I did. I did not take home a Mirror Ball trophy, but I did dance the best I've ever danced, and I'm super happy with that. And I raised, I think, a lot of money for charity. I'm getting the final number today, and that's why I did it.
Yes, absolutely. Everybody over there raising money for Neediest Kids of All. It looked like it was a very well-attended and well-dressed event.
It was.
I saw multiple Inquirer staffers in very formal wear.
Tuxedos. Yeah. Jason Williams wore a suit.
You wore a suit?
I wore a tie.
What happened to our world where we live in a world where everyone wears sweatpants and track pants all the time, Jason? This was the dream. I feel like you're giving up on that.
I'm still waiting for him to make the first pair of dresses. Still waiting for him to make the first dress pair of Under Armour pants.
That's it. That's what you need.
I'm kind of fancy.
Yeah.
So it rubs off sometimes, I think.
That's it. It's a good influence. He needs it.
Burrell was wearing a tux.
I know.
He looked great.
I saw that. Anyway, it sounded like it was a huge success, even though you didn't win. Who won?
A philanthropist from, that's not true. Teddy, there's several categories, three categories. Teddy,
of Reds fame. Teddy Kramer, Reds fame.
He won the dance, and he deserved to win it. He was absolutely amazing. And
nice.
You know what? He was stunned. I knew I wasn't winning. but he was stunned. He was crying.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's a sweetheart.
It was a great moment. It really was.
Very cool.
So.
Very cool. So huge success. Not just for you showing off your skills, but for the Neediest Kids of All. So awesome. I'm glad that all went well.
Yes.
I'm glad that all went well.
Wait, can I ask one more thing about City Hall? Because this is what I do.
Waiting for it.
We're coming to the end of year one of this new council. I'm lost for words. Are we expecting them to accomplish anything in the next 6 weeks toward the end of, turn of the year? I guess they take the break at the holidays, so they basically have another month of session, then they're out for a couple weeks, and then back after the new year. Is there anything big on the agenda that's going to get accomplished in the next few weeks?
I don't really see any big policies coming out of the committees. I will say that Mayor John Cranley has put forward two people. To be the actual city manager. We have an acting city manager now.
Cranley's doing something.
Seems like it. So he put forward two people to be the city manager, John Jewick, an assistant city manager, and Patrick Duhaney, who's the acting city manager and was an assistant city manager. No national search, which has been typical of what we do when we're choosing a city manager.
Those are two. if you're going to go local and inside, those are two really smart, good guys, I think, that would do a good job.
It remains to be seen, though, if either one of them have the support and if, you know, council's actually going to act on it.
Right.
Okay. It's so frustrating.
It's disconcerting.
I was
really waiting here. Okay, what's the next big thing? All right, something's coming. The only thing that's coming is replacing the thing that they undid earlier.
I mean, what's it going to take? What's it going to take
at this point?
What's it going to take for these 10 folks to, you know, do a misdirection here and get kind of right on the right path to achieving things and getting back to the people's work? Because this has been a wasted year, I think.
Here's the thing. If I believe these texts are eventually going to come out, I believe they are super divisive, and it's going to just be more of the same once these come out. Like, I don't.
Do you think it's going to get worse before it gets better?
I do.
Ugh. Yeah. How about this? This is what worked when I was in grade school. You go on one of those ropes retreats. You know, where everywhere you do trust falls.
Oh, they're not allowed to have a majority
now,
together. I'd have to go with them.
We are now
that's
here
a quorum,
to, we
kid.
Are here to support you when they like fall in the, off the rope thing and they do the climbing.
Like so, you and like I would have to go, and Chris Wederick and Jay Hanselman. Now we'd have to be rope climbing.
Yes, yes. I want all that.
Trust falls.
Trust falls.
Trust falls. Who's going to catch the mayor?
Three broken backs at the ropes retreat.
You know what, though? I will
no
say
trust
that's
exists.
Actually, that has been a thing, like, on and off through the years, like, that they, you know, should they be able to allow to have, like, some sort of retreat and talk and, like,
sing kumbaya.
Do this all the time.
Break down into small groups,
you know,
and discuss
their
lives.
They just can't. Yeah. At this point, I don't
pass
think.
Around the like, sure the candle, right? That
you
can only talk when you're holding the candle. Yeah. I think we figured out how we can solve all the problems at City Hall, and that's Sherry following everyone around on a ropes retreat.
City Hall, as Marty Brennan would say, City Hall, that's a great big old hang with them.
You are exactly right. Sherry, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having
always,
me.
Always, always great to have you. I'm sure that we will have you back in our room again soon.
Thank
that's
you.
So Cincinnati, special guest.
Special guest. Guest numero.
Featuring.
That's it. The number, Sherry our number Gould. One guest. Our number
friend
one
of
guest.
The show. All right, we're getting t-shirts, right?
T-shirts Burl. Are coming.
Shout out to Burl. I want some t-shirts.
Burl, we need t-shirts. So much thanks to Sherry Coolidge. Love having Sherry on. You guys are like, is she like your work spouse? You know, everyone has work spouses.
Yeah.
Except her spouse actually works here, so that's awkward.
I'm good friends with both of them. We joke around like I'm her work. She's my work wife.
Work wife.
Yeah. We sit in the same little pod, bouncing sources and stories off each other all day, and it's just like, it's a lot of fun.
I know. It comes through. But love having Sherry on. She's our first multi-time guest.
I'm Herb and she's Thelma.
Yeah. as long as it's not Thelma and Louise. Because that means you go cascading over the cliff at the end of the day. Which is funny. I got to tell you, fun moment on my beat this week. Which my beat has been full of fun moments the last 48 hours with firing of a defensive coordinator and Marvin takes the wheel and Hugh Jackson's back here now. It's been hysterical. But the funniest, very much so, the big top. So the best part of it, though, was I just tweeted out when Marvin announced that we figured out that Marvin was going to take over defensive coordinator for the first time ever. I just said, Marvin takes the wheel. Was my tweet. The thread that came from that single tweet of GIFs of different cars on fire going off the cliff, people on little like kids power wheels cascading, running over their brothers, like there it was. It made my entire. It probably has made my week, but it definitely made my day.
And every one of them are so fitting.
And they all made sense. My favorite was the one where this giant truck comes barreling around this corner, and you're like, well, this looks bad. And then as you get closer, you realize the entire thing is on fire in the back. It just goes flying down the street and into our front yard. That was because every time you imagine, well, what if Marv was on the wheel, right? You know, it's just it all yeah. kind of makes sense. And then on the BBP, on the Bengals Beat podcast, we put out we challenge you, our loyal listeners, to come up with something of Hugh and Marvin together again. And someone literally did the entire Sonny and Cher, I got you, babe, I got Hugh, babe, video with Marvin and Hugh's faces placed on top of Sonny and Cher. It's almost 2 minutes long. I said, man, our followers are just.
I got Hugh, babe. Oh, you're going to sing now.
I got Hugh. No, I'm not going to do that.
What?
Yeah. I was going to do the whole verse.
Oh, anyway, let's move on.
Yeah. Oh, don't turn on me like I'm the first person to sing on it. Let's. Do you have a That's So Cincinnati moment, or are you leaving that up to me?
I'm leaving it all up to you.
What did you do this weekend? Did you do anything that was Cincinnati?
Well, I went to Sherry's Dancing with the Stars thing.
That was Cincinnati.
And it was so Cincinnati because there was a lot of who's who in Cincinnati were there, and it was a lot of fun.
Who were some who's who's?
Burl Love. Bunch, some City Hall people.
Yeah.
Laura Bruner, some business community people.
Other media types. Yeah.
The whole Enquirer newsroom was there.
I was going to say, I saw a lot of Enquirer faces showing up.
Yeah.
Good for them.
It was a good time.
It sounds like, although.
Philanthropists.
You got to have philanthropists.
Teddy Kramer.
He's so Cincinnati.
And I got to talk with him after the day. Like, he is just. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's super. I have so my That's So Cincinnati moment of the week is when you out of nowhere have a great food day at places you didn't realize existed. Friday I was downtown. I was working a short day, just doing a little half day over at the Bengals because they just do something in the morning on Fridays. So in the morning, I was down early. I dropped my daughter off at daycare, and I'm like, I got a little extra time before I got to get in for open locker room. I'm going to just try to find a new breakfast joint I've not been to down here. So I Yelp it, and I come across B&A, B&A Street Kitchen, up on 15th, right by Caddy Corner from Taft's Ale House, next to Maze, if you've ever been up that way. Holy crap, this place was awesome. Like it's got kind of like a Tex-Mex type of feel
to
it. The couple that own it, they bought the building at one point and I think they were doing it just to do that. And then they realized there was no food that like a particularly breakfast type that fit like their style there. And their parents were really good cooks, so they just opened this restaurant. And this thing is fantastic. And to have a really good breakfast spot is huge. Breakfast lunch combo, especially down in that area, a lot of that stuff tends to be lunch, dinner, but not a lot early in the morning. So, you know, you got to go get what, like Holtman's Donuts or TOB or, Sleepy Bee's downtown now, Cheap Side. There's some, but nowhere near the amount of good places for breakfast that there are now on other sides. So it was awesome to stumble upon that. And then, so I do that. Then for lunch, I end up meeting a buddy at Herb and Thelma's over in Covington.
What?
Yes. Which is, if you've not been, it's like a little hole-in-the-wall burger joint. It has delicious burgers, pretty good chili.
It's a dive bar in a Weston town.
Dude, it is. Total. And I love finding places like that. And I did not know either of those places existed. So I think it's so Cincinnati to have a great food day from two places that you didn't even know existed. And there's so many of those out there. That's what I love about the city is you can always stumble upon a great little mom and pop or, you know, some local place that has great food almost at any time, especially downtown now. So I was excited.
Agreed.
That's a Cincinnati moment. Double duty.
You talking about food makes me think about my week last week. On election day, I had my two-year-old, and I ate McDonald's for breakfast. We had Chick-fil-A for lunch, and I came in here and had Jet's pizza for dinner. I have eaten at, in the last week, I've eaten at McDonald's three times, Chick-fil-A once, Skyline twice,
yeah.
Frisch's once, Sunday night.
That's so Cincinnati.
Well, that's why I'm fat.
which also is often so Cincinnati as well.
Well, I'm just lazy when I have my when I have my kids. I'm just like, oh, it's so easy just to
whatever. Let's just get food.
Let's just grab something quick, nuggets at McDonald's or breakfast sausage McGriddle. Or
I will say, and in this, when I lived in Norwood for a little while, right behind in the Surrey Square skyline. Like in the Presidents, if you know Norwood at all, they have a bunch of neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah.
All the Presidents' streets are back there. I lived right on Washington. And when the wind was blowing a certain way, when you would come home, you would just smell the skyline trying to walk in my front door. Having to go from your car to your front door smelling the skyline when you get home from work, it's an almost impossible task for a native Cincinnatian. Like, that is, it's it's impossible to not just be like, all right, I'll just go grab one Coney. You know, and that's also an impossible task because you got to get two Coneys if you're going to get one.
You know, I was thinking about this when we had Skyline as our family on Friday night. I was just sitting there. I'm like, it's always the same. Like, you never have a bad meal here.
It's solid. It's predictable. It's consistently good. And I actually really like going in there, into the Skyline. I feel like it feels very homey. You can smell the cheese and the chili the whole time. Oh. I'm a big fan.
Speaking of, have you ever done this? Have you ever just eaten a bowl of chili at Skyline? Have you ever done that?
No.
So my wife and I just discovered this a couple months
ago. Wouldn't you more drink a bowl of chili almost?
Well, no. You can get the loaded bowl, which is a bowl of chili. They put cheese in it, sour cream, beans. You can get onions if you want. And it's actually, it's like, I never thought, like, one of her friends started doing it. She was out hanging out one day, and then she came home and was like, you know what's something that you could kind of cut down on the carbs on it at Skyline without the noodles or the bread? It's just to get a bowl of chili. So I did it. It's, man, it's awesome.
You know, if I was sitting there with
it's you, underrated.
If I was sitting there with you and you had that bowl of just chili at Skyline, I'm pretty sure I would stand up and just take the bowl and throw it off the table across the room. Blasphemy!
It's under. Hey, I'm telling you, it's underrated.
No,
it's good. It's good soup chili.
Get you a Coney. Get you the three way. Get you a Cholito at least. Come on.
It's your bowl of chili, man. It's,
yeah,
it's called Skyline chili.
It smells good though. So what we got coming up this week? You got you cooking up anything for PX this weekend or any more? On any more election fallout coming out, or are we pretty much kind of that kind of over now?
I think we're done with election.
Yeah.
It's funny because, like, the last few years after the election, I've been asked to speak at, like, Rotary clubs and business clubs and all that. So my week this week is great. Like, I just spoke to a Northeast Cincinnati Rotary Club today.
You love the Rotary Club community.
It's great. They're awesome. Like, they had me last year, and it's like 60 people, and
hey,
people
clamor for PX.
Well, I always say anybody could do the job, and they would clamor for that person in the job. So, yeah. I'm speaking of Miami on Thursday, Miami University.
Wow,
Claremont County
Molding
Chamber
Young
of Commerce
minds
on Friday.
Oh my goodness!
So that's what's going on right now. I'm kind of
the speaking tour.
I'm on the speaking tour.
Look at you.
No. I'm just kicking around a couple of different things right now. Like, you know, probably look at some City Hall stuff, as we talked about earlier with Sherry, and see what we can figure out about that craziness.
See if they can go on a ropes retreat. I'm telling you, Trust Falls will fix all of this. That's proven. Every seventh grader that's ever gone on a ropes retreat
except for
has
when
come
they
back dealing with their bullies better.
Except for when they don't catch certain people and just let them fall.
Very possible. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the podcast. It's been great having you guys, you know, our consistent listeners. Our numbers have been going up. And tell your friends, please, if you are ever in a conversation about anything that's going on in the city, mention the podcast about how we make you so smart. We give you the jokes that you could tell.
We sing.
We sing. We eat tickle pickle.
We dance.
We shout out our high schools. All those things.
We shout out our boss.
Skyline. Sometimes in the wrong way. So just
Skyline.
Let everybody up. We want to keep doing this. We want to keep doing this for you. So the more you can tell your friends, subscribe. If you have comments, comment, please. Let anybody know. If you think they'd be interested in the podcast that it exists, because what we've found, people that listen to it seem to really like it and like to listen to it almost the whole way through. But it's just a matter of making sure more people know about it, and that will happen as we grow. But you can help us if you like it. Send us tweets. We love to talk to you over Twitter. You can at J Williams Sitsy and at Paul Danier Jr.
Now that's Junior spelled out, or is this JR?
JR.
I knew that.
DehnerJr. You can find us on there, and we'd love to talk about all things Cincinnati. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening to this edition of SO Cincinnati. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.